It's the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast. Here we go. With Malia Jacobson as your host.
Hello and welcome to Sleep Well, Stay Well. I'm your host, sleep and health journalist, Malia Jacobson. Welcome to new listeners on this lovely spring day. I hope it is feeling like spring wherever you are. And welcome back. If you are a listener who's been here before, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Today, we are talking about daylight savings time. And while daylight saving time can wreak havoc on sleep patterns for kids and adults alike, the focus of this discussion will be helping kids adjust to daylight savings time, particularly spring forward, which happens this year on Sunday the 14th, when we move our clocks ahead an hour. Everyone has trouble with this. It is not my favorite day of the year. I much prefer fall back, where we get an extra hour. That is the best day of the year, if you want my opinion. An extra hour is always welcome in my book. Moving the clocks forward, not so much. So what typically happens with kids' sleep and everyone's sleep, but again, I'm going to focus this discussion on kids, is that when the clocks move forward an hour, kids are not tired at the time that we expect them to be tired for bed. And so they are staying up later. Their bedtime becomes a struggle. Parents start wondering what's going on. Parents are not able to get kids to go to sleep at what seems like a reasonable hour. And because bedtime drags on and on and on, and there's stress, and sometimes some overtiredness can kick in and the routine is disrupted. And then that in turn affects the next day's wake up time. And then kids often will sleep in the next day. Parents will let them sleep in because things were tough the night before. And then the cycle continues. So it's really not hard to see why this happens. So when we move the clocks forward an hour, so let's use an example of a 7 p.m. bedtime, which is obviously very, very early, and you would only be putting your child to bed at 7 if they were a very young baby or a toddler. But let's use 7 p.m. just for the sake of ease. So when we move the clocks forward by an hour, when 7 p.m. rolls around on the clock, your child's body really thinks it's 6 p.m. And if they have awoken at their normal time that morning, let's say they're a 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. kid. So they wake up at 7 a.m., they go to bed at 7 p.m. So if they wake up at 7 as normal on 3:14, the clocks have moved forward an hour, and then you are putting them to bed at 7 p.m., they are not yet tired enough to go to bed because nothing in their schedule has been adjusted yet. And to their body, it's still 6 p.m. And so the clock gets later and later. They are still not tired. The routine is disrupted. Parents aren't sure what to do. The child ends up going to bed usually quite a bit later than normal and then wants to sleep in the next day. And if you've listened to any of my work or read my articles or consulted with me on sleep, you know that one of the things that I caution parents against when they are working on bedtime is to avoid allowing kids to sleep too late in the morning. Because spring forward typically affects bedtimes first, that is often where parents will focus the bulk of their energy and their frustration and try to look for solutions there at the PM end of the day. Wondering why kids are not going to sleep, why they are not falling asleep at the time that we consider reasonable, why they are still bouncing off the walls at 10 p.m. when we would like them to be in bed so that we can be winding down our day also. So that is something that I see often, that parents will spend the bulk of their frustration really focusing on that bedtime when it's really the wake-up time that we should be focusing on. The wake-up time is what is going to program your child to fall asleep at their typical time, even post daylight savings time, without a lot of disruption to their routine, which means that you will avoid a lot of disruption to the family routine. And so the way to do this is to shift your child's schedule earlier over the course of a few days so that when daylight savings time arrives, they will be ready to fall asleep at their normal time on Sunday the 14th, and you won't have to do any adjusting, any juggling, anything out of the ordinary. They will get enough sleep Sunday night, and they will be ready for a good week Monday morning. So this is pretty simple. The way to do this is simply, again, start at the top of the day. So start these efforts in the morning. Don't try and start this at bedtime if you haven't already made that adjustment for the morning. So if you haven't already done it today, just focus on working on it tomorrow. And just wake your child up about 15 to 20 minutes earlier than their normal wake-up time. And so what this will do is, to be totally honest, on the first day, you might not notice anything. It might not do much at all. Your child might seem a little more tired than usual for bedtime, but they might not. They probably won't feel much of anything. So just kind of put them to bed at their normal time. That's fine. The next day, you're going to want to continue this adjustment, waking them up about 15 to 20 minutes earlier than normal. And this is chopping about 40 or so minutes of sleep out of their day. So they're probably going to feel it. At bedtime, they will probably be ready to go to bed a little earlier than normal. If you have a child that's already going to bed pretty early, their bedtime can feel very early in this circumstance. So let's say you have that 7 p.m. kid who's going to bed at 7. You're putting them to bed at 6:30, 6:15, and it feels wild. But all of that will get adjusted after the clocks change. So then on the day of daylight savings time, when the clocks spring forward overnight, so what was once 6 a.m. is now 7 a.m. And so you would just wake your child up at their normal time. So if they are a 7 a.m. kid, standard time, 7 a.m. daylight time would be when they would wake up. And you would be able to put them to bed at their normal time, daylight time. So if they are a 7 p.m. standard time bedtime, they would have a 7 p.m. daylight time bedtime, because what you have done is shifted that bedtime over the course of a couple days so that it was actually 6 p.m. or 6 p.m.-ish standard time. Well, when the clocks move forward on the 14th, 6 p.m. becomes 7 p.m. See how that works? So you have shifted that sleep schedule effectively so that there won't be any disruption. And again, the key to that is waking your child up early enough so that then they are ready to go to bed at an earlier time. That is really the key. Do not try to do this on a whim right before bedtime, because if your child has not been awake long enough during the day, they will not be ready to go to bed at an earlier bedtime. You may know this firsthand, and if not, just trust me. You do not want to be in that situation. So what can you do if you are waking up the day of the 14th and you realize, oh my goodness, we didn't do anything. How is this going to affect our kids' sleep? Don't worry. This one is actually a really easy fix because it is the spring forward change. And really all you need to do is wake your child up earlier than they normally would wake up. So what that does is help them to be ready to fall asleep, if not earlier, then at least at their regular time. So let's say you have a grade schooler who normally gets up around 8, and you wake up on the morning of daylight saving time, you realize, whoa, the clocks move forward. Oh my gosh, we haven't done a thing to help anyone with sleep. How is this going to affect our second grader? So you would just wake them up a little bit early that morning. And by doing that, you would increase the likelihood that he would be ready to go to bed at his normal-ish bedtime that night. So if he was a second grader who got up around 8 and went to bed around 9, then you would be reasonably assured that he would be in bed 9:30-ish, because remember that his body time is really set at 8 or 8:30 on that first day of daylight savings time, because the clocks have moved forward but his body has not. So if you get him up ahead of his normal wake up time, then he will be ready to go to bed at that new adjusted time, which again is earlier. So another way to think about this is think about the time that your child is typically awake during the day. So again, sometimes when we're focusing on kids' bedtimes and wake-up times, we mistakenly focus too much on the time that they're asleep, because of course that's what we're going for. We want to make sure that they get enough sleep, and we spend a lot of time talking about that and thinking about that. But what we were really aiming for is the amount of time that they are spending awake. That is what will drive their sleep time. If they are not spending enough time awake, and that will vary child to child, and through their developmental stages, they need to spend a certain number of hours awake each day to build up enough sleep drive to sleep soundly through the night. And this is true of babies, this is true of toddlers, preschoolers, school-age children, teenagers, and of course adults as well. So if you have a child who wakes up at 8 a.m. and goes to bed at 9 p.m., you know that, and sleeps reasonably well through the night, you know that they need about 13 hours of awake time to build up that sleep drive to allow them to sleep at night. So if your child wakes up at 8 a.m. or whatever time they wake up on the morning of daylight savings, you know that they will need that those 13 hours to elapse before they are tired enough for bed. So that's where it's kind of your choice. And I know that parents do not like to wake their kids up early in the morning, particularly on a weekend. But it truly is your choice to make. You can take that extra hour in the morning, or you can deal with a later bedtime that night and just kind of shift it out over a couple of days. The change is usually not as disruptive for older kids. They're able to moderate their sleep schedules a little bit better and maybe handle a little bit of extra overtiredness a little more easily and with less crankiness and tiredness than what you would see in a baby or a toddler. But still, just it's something to keep in mind for teenagers and for yourself also. If you're not feeling as tired as you normally would at bedtime over the first couple days after we move the clocks forward, it's very likely because you just haven't built up enough time spent awake to kick into that tired state. You haven't built up your sleep drive because you haven't been awake long enough. And so a good way to make sure that you aren't going to experience many problems post-daylight savings is just stick to a regular wake-up time and avoid sleeping in particular on this weekend. One of the reasons that it is problematic is daylight savings time occurs on a weekend. And what do we like to do on weekends? We like to sleep in. So sleeping in even a half an hour on the day of daylight savings time, because the clocks have already moved forward, the day is already shorter, there already is less time to build up that sleep drive that you need for a good sound night's sleep. Even just that small amount of extra sleep in the morning will impact that. So take this weekend, take advantage of the earlier morning light that we are getting. Enjoy some earlier mornings, enjoy a long day, take advantage of the extra sunlight, get some yard work done, or just enjoy some extra time with your kids. Make some cocoa and cuddle on the sofa, or go for an early morning walk. Anything to kind of get your day started, get your body started a little bit earlier in the morning, and it will make a world of difference in your bedtime, both this Sunday on Spring Forward Day, as well as over the course of the upcoming week. I hope this was helpful. If you have any more questions, you can Google my article, Spring Forward, Stay Sane. I have written about this and given a step-by-step tutorial. I also have this on my Instagram, Reels at by Malia Jacobson. And you can find more information on this at my website, maliajacobson.com. And I'll also post a link in the show notes at sleepwellstaywell.com. Thank you again so much for listening. I appreciate you so much. And next week, I'll be back with a full episode with another great interview. Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast. Now you know. Thanks for checking out the show.